Season 2, Episode 20, The Bookie and the Kooky Cookie.
I don't like the name of this one.
You don't like the name, The Bookie and the Kooky Cookie, Kyle?
Yeah. It's just like a tongue, it's like too much, I feel like.
It feels like a adult Shel Silverstein poem.
Yeah.
I don't know, I dug it.
It does, like a little bit like a adult Shel Silverstein poem.
It opens up in Bar's alley,
mm-hmm.
and Andy was not there at the beginning. A gentleman got one in the temple and seemed to have just been left there in the alley.
Mm-hmm.
I believe was the man who was killed a bookie?
Yeah, he was the bookie.
That's right. I wrote purpose the bookie because apparently I was going to say retarded. That's not politically correct, guys.
No, it's not. It's mentally challenged.
I was mentally challenged when I was writing this in the beginning. And the bar is one of his hangouts, so they go into the bar, and they start asking the guys if they know anything about the guy. And it kind of turns into a weird, like, Abbott and Costello sketch.
Like, a little bit, yeah.
Like, Sipowicz gets in, and then they're like, okay, well, who knows what's going on with that guy out there? It's like, well, that guy's a great guy. Nothing happened to him. And then one guy's like, yeah, well, yeah, there's problems. And then, like, it starts bouncing around.
And then Sipowicz keeps getting more and more annoyed with it.
It's a really funny scene. It was written really well, because it does seem kind of realistic. Like, if a bunch of drunks are sitting in a bar.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, a guy
early in the morning, too. That's what's crazy. It's like, that. It's supposed to be the morning, and they're already in the bar's open, and they're already there. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. I don't live in New York, and I don't really go to bars in L.A. Like, do they open in the morning?
I don't know. That's the same thing I was thinking. Like, I don't really... I've never had time to, like... I've, like, never had time to get up early and go to a bar at 6 in the morning. Like, I've been out until 4, and they're open. But, I mean, there's probably some bars that are open early. I just, like, I don't know. I've never, like, looked for one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them close at 4 in the morning, and then they probably don't open until, like, noon.
Yeah, it would make sense to...
You know what I mean? But but there are probably some bars that are open to crack a dog.
Anyway, this is NYPD Blue Balls. I'm Kirk, and the other voice is Kyle.
It's not open. Or it's not open. Those guys just were hanging. Like, the bartender's like, yeah, we can hang out in here, and, like, you guys can do your bookie shit in here. And I can just be, like, cleaning up and stuff. Could that be, too? I don't know. Just...
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery misdirect.
It's a mystery what's going on. After that, they go back to the house. Simone gets a call about Miss Novak.
The guy's going to take a deal or something like that, right?
So she doesn't need to testify.
Uh-huh.
I think over the phone, Simone kind of has a conversation with her at first.
Yeah, he calls her. He calls her and tells her that she doesn't have to testify. And she doesn't have to do this, she doesn't have to do that. And then you can kind of hear, you kind of get only his side of the phone, but she's not having it.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically is like, I want to meet. And so Simone has to be like, okay, well, what about this place by your apartment or by your house? Which is smart of Simone to keep it like that, because then she can't, like, go crazy or follow him or anything like that.
Because I wrote down here, a lot of stuff happens, like, in the first scene, right after they get back. Yeah. Sylvia and Sipowicz just talk about the wedding. They're making wedding preparations. Russell and Simone kind of have a conversation about, like, hey, so are we going to keep this going? Because we're co-workers?
Yeah.
And she basically says, yeah, I'm cool with it if you're cool with it, bro, so... Like, that's going to lay this...
Like that?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times men and women who have had sex together, they just talk so casually, like, you know, yeah, whatever, bro.
Whatever, dude.
And Abundando comes back. Donna Abundando.
Yeah, she does. She comes back from her trip.
She comes back from her escaping Medovoy trip.
Yeah, like, disappearing so she doesn't get murdered trip.
And I wrote here, Abundando comes back, Medovoy creams jeans.
Yes, he does.
Because he turns into, like, a dog. Like, yeah, she comes in, like, and he's, like...
on the phone, and then all of a sudden he's all about, like, her.
All right, well, we're back midstream to welcome Papa Asher. So far we just talked about how a bookie was dead outside a bar. They have a moment with a bunch of bar patrons. It turns into, like, a Abbott and Costello routine.
And they mention he has a driver.
I mentioned he has a driver. After the opening theme music, they come back to the house. Simone gets a call that the crazy lady's trial isn't going to go to trial.
The dude's going to accept a plea.
So that kooky cookie in question of the bookie and the kooky cookie.
What was her name? Joyce? Joyce Novak?
Was it Joyce Novak?
Something Novak. I think she's related to basketball player Steve Novak.
Liz.
Okay, Liz is not her name.
I wrote down Liz.
I get 100%.
Hold on, let's find
100%
out.
Guarantee her name's not Liz.
Susanna Thompson played Joyce Novak.
Yeah, Liz. I like to call her Liz.
I like to call her.
Her friends call her Liz.
Dude, I call her Jizz.
Thanks, Kyle.
There's something to cut out.
Abadondo comes back and meets John.
Yeah.
John is a nice guy and says nothing's changed.
Desk or anything. Yeah. Metavoid, we were talking about Metavoid creams his jeans, sitting at his desk staring at her. He starts convulsing on the phone when he sees her.
Simone calls Miss Novak to let her know that the trial's not going to occur, and she'll only get off the phone with him if he agrees to meet her at lunchtime.
I already talked about all this stuff. I'm not re-talking about it. I refuse to.
Have you got to the point where the guy loses 11 grand? Just, what do I look like, Donald Trump?
Yeah, I forgot where that is. In the episode. I wrote down the quote, but at some point...
I remember that quote.
I have it down just after Donna's back.
Yeah, because they pull some guy into the station, and he's a friend of the bookie, and they're asking him about it, and he was like, could you afford that loss? And he goes, and then he says that line... Because then Sipowicz says, do you have other bookies? And then he says to Sipowicz, I don't know, it's like, do you have more than one credit card? Because they bring in some guy, and then the guy goes, you owed him that much money. He was like, yeah, but he was a cool bookie. Like, he wouldn't come after you right away if you owed money, or if, like, it was 2 days later, Shylocks weren't coming at your door. Like, he was actually kind of cool and, like, let you... Yeah. So they bring someone in for questioning.
They bring in the guy, I think I have it here.
A friend of his. I think he's a guy who knows, like, who just works with him. And that's one of the guys who they say, the guys at the bar say, oh, he had to meet so-and-so tonight.
He had to meet Jerry Marsh?
Yes, Jerry Marsh tonight.
Jerry Marsh, because Jerry Marsh owed him 11 grand.
Yes.
And they thought, okay, well, then that's the motivation for the murder.
Yeah.
But it turns out the guy's like, no, I wouldn't have murdered him, like... He would have let me pay on my own time.
Yeah. He makes that whole argument, like, he's the only bookie that's cool with not having to pay right away.
So,
and then he makes the Donald Trump line. This is the Donald Trump line.
We also have the return of another character from the past of NYPD Blue, Mike Roberts.
Yeah, Mike Roberts comes in and out. He calls, what's his name? This is the one where he says some kind of line about John being a fruit. Or a puff or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sipowicz goes, yeah, but you know what he is? He's good at his job. Kind of like a dig at Mike Roberts for getting fired for having a prostitute girlfriend.
Mike Roberts, because Mike Roberts represents the security for that bookie. Another guy that died.
Yeah.
And Sipowicz sees Mike Roberts and says, hey, another dead client, Mike? That's a great advertisement for Mike Roberts. He's like, you know it's Excelsior.
And then he says, but I wasn't guarding him at the time.
I believe they start looking into the driver. Because the driver is the son of a guy that he used to take bets from.
Yes.
So we're just going to pass right over this Donald Trump quote.
Well, I don't
We're not going to pass over anything. If you have something to say, you're more than welcome to start talking.
I don't like talking about politics on this show. I don't like talking about politics, period. But what would you like to add about the Donald Trump quote?
I just asked.
I mean, there's also a Donald Trump quote in an episode we did with the guy from West Wing, who was the...
Bradley Whitford?
No, the bald guy who was like... Eastern Bloc terrorist guy.
Yeah, he threw the lady in the trunk.
Yeah, there was a Donald Trump reference there that we didn't even mention.
Simone does say to Sipowicz, why don't you wear one of those beanies with the propeller on top of your head when they're getting ready to go to the he has to deal with the psycho hose beast.
Oh yeah, that meeting, because that storyline, he meets with her and she said, "Well, you promised me after the case is over we'd be together." And he was like, "I made no such promise. I just said that we could.
We would discuss our situation.
We would discuss the situation after the trial's over, and I'm not interested." Then she says, "Well, I could really screw up this investigation for you, and so you coerced me." So now he's in the tough place that I knew you'd get into when you deal with psycho hose beasts and you're dealing with an investigation.
So we agree that she's an attractive woman.
Yeah.
So you think he had any second thoughts?
No.
I don't think he was interested at all.
He didn't have to be interested.
Also, Simone is now with Russell at this point.
No, I disagree.
You disagree? How?
I disagree too.
They're just starting off, man. Very beginning, and I think they only have sex at the end.
Of the last episode.
Of the last episode?
The one before this one.
Oh, okay. So it just started off still. It's fresh, it's new. They're not committed to each other.
All right. I mean,
I don't think they're like in a relationship. I think they're like starting out, but they're not like exclusive. Does that make sense?
Okay. Do you feel like if Russell...
I just think Simone realized from the earlier episodes that she was crazy, and he realized like, yeah, don't have sex with that.
Yeah.
But going back to the last one, did you notice that Diane says to him after they like, you know, fooled around, "You're not married, are you?"
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something that you would check out before you jumped in this act?
Well, I said to Kyle in the last episode, like, she used to work undercover in Vice and probably had carnal relations with a bunch of weird people.
Or not.
You don't think she had carnal relations?
No, I don't think her job was to, like, go fuck around people. I think her job was to, like, be undercover.
Undercover and, like, cop.
Like, still keep her wits about her and not, like... fuck everybody.
I'm saying there's...
you kind of know what gets thrown out the window? Evidence and, like, trying to get people in trouble when it's like, oh yeah, like, all she did was fuck everybody while she was undercover.
It's a great testimony.
That. You can't do that.
I'm thinking this. If he decided, okay, well, if I just have sex with this Novak woman and then kick her to the curb, that's not going to stop her from being crazy.
But it'll get through the trial.
But now the trial's over.
Yeah.
Well, no,
he can get through that time period. Then, when it is over, he's got to break up with her anyway.
I think Simone realized that if he does have sex with her, it's going to make her crazier. It's just going to make it even more and more.
Crazy is crazy. There's no levels of crazy.
No, there's levels of crazy.
She brought a knife to stab, what's her name? How much more crazy can you get?
I think...
Spoilers!
Yeah, that is the very end of the episode.
Jesus.
But I think Simone is smart enough to know that if he dips his pen in that crazy ink, it's not going to get any better.
It's just going to get crazier.
It's not going to get...
I think he should have.
I disagree.
Yeah, no, man, if she was crazy, she might do some fun things in the bedroom. Just saying.
Are you cool having a conversation with your father about fun things in the bedroom?
Not really.
Okay, just making sure, because I'm not responding because of that.
I mean, that whole storyline plays out where he leads her on for half a minute because she plans to contest her testimony at the trial, which would then...
Yeah, and then...
At the hearing, which would then fuck up everything. So Simone runs this game on her where Russell's involved.
But Simone does the smart thing. He keeps telling his boss and the attorney what's happening. So at least they know... At least, like, it's not a surprise, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's giving them heads up and, like, saying, like, she's being crazy, blah, blah, blah.
Which of course, like, it leads
that
to that...
That great.
It leads to that scene where Fancy has her in the room, and he's like,
scene.
I want to file official sexual harassment charges. And Fancy's like, well, I just want to let you know the gravity of your situation. This is what it'll mean for him. This is what it'll mean for you. He's like, also, I want to let you know, he approached me and the attorney... saying that you were engaged in inappropriate behavior and suggesting things yourself.
Yeah.
And we're going to record this.
Yeah.
So it's like... And then he ends with, if you ever seek professional psychological help, which...
No one wants to hear that. Especially if you're crazy.
Yeah, crazy people hate hearing that they might be crazy.
Anything, yeah. That they need help.
One of the other things that's happening is Sipowicz... is getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really cool scene with him and the priest.
Yeah. Well, they have to get counseling. Because if you're going to get married in a church, you have to talk to a priest about it.
Well, that's more, you know.
If you're going to get married in a church, if you're going to get married, who better to talk to about it than a man who chose to never get married?
Makes sense.
Get counseling from a man who will never have a wife.
That,
but he's married to God, guys. Sorry.
But that scene was really cool because it really felt like, okay, this is a guy who he's dealt with Sylvia all her life, and now she wants to marry this man, and he can tell, like, this guy's not jiving with this whole thing at all.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about our faith, really, and he doesn't really care about the whole process of it. He just really wants to marry Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of just asks him, like, do you believe in God? Which is, like, step one. And Sipowicz says, you know, man, when you've seen the things I've seen, it makes you question everything. It kind of gives that impression. And Sylvia and him have that conversation later when I think he talks about a guy, like, fed his dog, his child.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that'll shake your belief in higher powers for sure.
Because the baby peed on the guy, so he shook the baby to death.
Dropped him,
yeah.
And then
he peed on him, he got mad and either hit him or dropped him, and then the baby was like fucked up, so the guy like fed him to the dog to hide the baby.
Yeah, they had to kill the dog.
And they also stole that from the Watchmen.
They did steal that from Watchmen.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I just thought it was an attempt to make Sipowicz more human.
That too.
Yeah, and Sipowicz is pretty tight-lipped on his, like, even though we got quite a lot of bit of his personal life with the alcoholism and him dealing with that, and now Sylvia, like, it becomes more important as the show goes on, his idea of, like, God in the afterlife. Because, I mean, there's, spoiler alert, there's episodes where he talks to characters that have died in NYPD Blue.
There's points where he talks to God. There's a dude that's like kind of supposed to be God when his son's dead. He has dreams where he's sitting at a diner and he sees his son, and then the man in the middle talks to him, and you find out that that's supposed to be his interpretation of God talking to him about his son. But yeah.
Yeah, I wrote down the quote after he kind of schools Joyce at the courtroom. He says, "Take a walk, Joyce, see a doctor." And I was like, that's...
Yeah, she's getting a lot of hints to go see a doctor. And then she comes to file a complaint. And then she says...
She gets turned away.
It's all over, and then she comes outside, and she basically is like... Asks Diane, like, what moves did you use to get him?
Like, when did you start fucking him?
Yeah, and he stole my man. What moves did you use in the bedroom to get him type thing?
Which is weird, because they are fucking... Right? Russell and Simone are having sex.
Yeah.
So, is the crazy lady paranoid, or is she just right on the money?
It's a question you're supposed to answer there, sir.
I mean, either one.
No, she's obviously crazy.
But I think she sees that how they're acting together.
She picks up on the sexual tension, but
you notice that Sipowicz says, yeah, what moves did you use?
Yeah, he did say
Does
that.
Does he know what's going on?
Yeah.
Did he figure it out?
Yeah, Sipowicz is a dum-dum.
Sipowicz is so intuitive as a detective. I'm sure he figured out the morning she came back from the night of Fugson. Because he even knows she's an alcoholic. Like,
well, that's because he smelt it. Did he smell the sex on her?
Well, as I've said, he must have dealt it. Nobody? Okay.
He must have what?
Dealt it. Because he smelled it.
God.
Fine. Nothing. Nothing from this crowd. When it comes to the bookie, it turns out it's the driver. Shitty...
Yeah, they go see his mom.
His shitty driver is the son of this guy. That mom is a famous face, too.
She's in Twin Peaks.
She is in Twin Peaks.
She's Laura Palmer's mom.
She's also...
Mrs. Sparsak is her name, I believe.
Her name is Grace Zabriskie.
Yeah, Zabriskie.
and she was in Twin Peaks. She was in Armageddon, Gone in 60 Seconds.
What was she in Armageddon? She's someone's mom?
I think so. She had her name was Dottie.
Oh, Dottie.
Armageddon. Oh, Loner Dottie, a rebel.
That's right.
Is that who she was? She That's was exactly. in Pee-wee's, Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
That's exactly who she was.
She was Dottie in Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yep.
They kind of had the same hair. You can't deny that.
Well...
They kind of had that perm going on together.
Yes, thank you.
A perm.
Thank you for kicking me while you say it.
That perm.
So her and her son
that perm.
Have a fight about how much he got off of the bookie.
Well, they trick really. Him. They trick her. They're talking to her, and she's being an asshole to Sipowicz and Simone. So then Sipowicz says to her, man, I hope he got away with... I hope he shared some of the 40 grand with you, even though it wasn't that much. It was only like 10 or 11. And so, to get her pissed off, so she uses the cell phone so they can try to locate where he was. And then as soon as they get back, Medavoy's like, oh, that cell phone you asked, she's been calling that cell phone nonstop like crazy.
Yeah, one of the things Mike Roberts gave him was that he has a cell phone.
Yeah.
So that they start tapping on the cell phone to see who he's calling. It leads to a fight outside where she's like banging on her son's car.
Yeah, trying to get more money from him in the middle of the street. They're like fighting. And then she pulls a gun and shoots his tires out.
Which leads to the best line of the show, this particular episode.
Mm-hmm. And what is that?
Ordinarily, you don't want to shoot an elderly woman. Because Sipowicz hates this woman because she's so rude and ridiculous.
I don't know who wrote this, but someone said, they say the family structure's going to hell.
Sipowicz. After they tackled the mom up against the car and stuff, and they got everyone arrested. Because his mom... So they find the gun in the car, and that's when his mom gives him shit. Gives the son shit. She's like, you save $100. I couldn't even get rid of the murder weapon. Just giving him a hard time.
They both go to jail. That crazy woman... The episode kind of ends with... That crazy woman comes to fight Russell... And Russell drops her booze, and then hides.
The thing is, she's in the bathroom drinking, and Sipowicz wants to go to the bathroom, and he knocks, and was like, "Oh, we have a locker hog." And then when she comes out, she walks right by his face, and I think breathes on him, and then that's when he's like, "That's I know that, I used to do that."
Joyce and Russell have their little tizzy outside.
Yep.
She drops the knife. Russell drops her booze.
Her bag. But then the booze falls out and breaks.
But the episode ends with that conversation I mentioned previously with...
Did Simone... Do you think Simone or Martinez saw the booze bottle?
Yeah. No.
Yes.
You do?
Simone looked right at it. Go back and watch. He looked right at the ground saw it.
For real?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. Because Simone... Like, later in the episode when Simone kind of goes, hey, I think you might actually have a problem. Simone, or Sipowicz thinks you do, and now I think you do, too. That would kind of speak to that. Because, I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot to go on.
You know what else? She just kicks the glass underneath the car.
Yeah, she doesn't even clean it up.
Flat tire for a cop car.
That's true. It's like, if that car moves, the glass is still on the street.
Yeah. Well, she was drunk.
She's inconsiderate.
She wasn't drunk.
She's inconsiderate.
It's a joke because she's drinking.
That wasn't funny.
Making fun of people with drinking problems isn't a joke, Kirk.
Okay, great.
It's a serious shit.
It's a national epidemic.
The episode ends with the Sipowicz and Sylvia conversation in the bedroom. And the quote, he asked if I lost my faith. He wanted to know...
If I have faith in God, I have faith in you.
Yeah. Then it cuts to the executive producers.
Boom, 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 I think it was to make him, you know, like you said, make him more human and that this stuff affects him. He's just not a, you know, I don't know, zombie or robot doing the job.
If you're interested after watching this episode, there is a YouTube video, NYPD Blue Extended Cuts. I guess they had full different... full versions of the scenes of this episode that they had to cut down for time, but they put the whole thing up on YouTube.
How come this is the first time hearing about it?
It was sent to us by Blake.
You didn't come to the production meeting. That's your problem.
Oh, well. You gotta pay me more if you think I'm coming to meetings.
Is there anything you would like to add, Papa Asher, considering...
No. You threw a hissy fit that you weren't invited.
No, I was invited.
And then we just did it without you.
You just started without me.
Oh, okay.
So the people out there, and you know, who are, you know,
clamoring
for me, you know,
clamoring.
You got to give the people what they want, man.
Clawing for it, Kirk. Clawing for it.
Anyway, no, that overall solid episode. So, how realistic is it that they just happen to have a job for John to go downstairs and take over today?
Yeah,
that doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Also, wasn't it upstairs?
Whatever.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, that Jesus. Doesn't matter. We can nitpick everything I say, but if you if you throw out one barb in that direction, hey, Kirk, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I thought that was clearly a, you know, an error.
That was a, like, hey, he'll be stopping in and out every now and then to say hi.
But we talked about how Russell. Last episode, she gets into the crew in one episode. When it took James Martinez, like, half of season one to get a detective shield and be in the crew.
Martinez isn't as good looking.
Yeah, and Simone isn't fugsing him. But, right. Like, it was still kind of weird that she just shows up and they're like, hey, we have a spot you want.
Had, you know, Simone gone Brokeback Mountain on the guy.
Hey, we have a spot and you have no experience being a detective. Do you want to do it?
Like, yeah, that didn't... happened with Martinez. And Martinez jumped out of a window after a guy.
She wasn't a detective before?
She was, undercover.
She was vice. That's something different.
Oh, well, you move around. Once a cop, always a cop.
Well, Martinez came from where? Upstairs.
He was in anti-crime.
Anti-crime. Yeah, he had to learn and shit.
Which, isn't all police anti-crime? I don't really understand.
I don't think any's pro-crime.
But I don't understand what anti-crime does different from other cops.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I need to talk to a cop.
Call your cop friends. We'll figure it out.
Call my cop friends. Hey, cop friends. Question. Anyway, this has been NYPD Blue Balls.
It has been.
Every episode is on AsherBrosPodcast.com or MixBagOfHats.com. We're on Twitter at AsherBrosPod or Instagram, AsherBrosPodcast. You can email us at AsherBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. And, that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
Guess that's it.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. Without you listening, there's really no point in doing it, so thank you very much. Unfortunately, I cannot direct you to Netflix or Hulu for NYPD Blue. You're going to have to go and get that on your own. I think Amazon, you can buy it to stream. I'm pretty sure you can buy it to stream on iTunes. I know that the DVDs are available up to a certain season. I think they're worth it, even though they have really terrible DVD menus. I don't know who's responsible, but just to let you know, you have terrible DVD menus. It doesn't matter now, of course, unless they repackage it for Blu-ray, then it'd be cool to fix the menus. Doesn't matter. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hopefully they don't get mad at us for using the theme song, because it's a great theme song, it's a great show. You're great people. Thank you. Once again, if you want to talk about the episodes, I always let everybody know on our Twitter, at AsherBrosPod, when the episodes are coming out. So send us a tweet, contact us on AsherBrothersPodcast@gmail.com, let us know, and keep watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue.